on this Advent day. You'll notice that the psalm we sang today, that Don led us in, is not really a psalm. Well, it's a psalm in the sense that psalms are really just songs. But the one we read today isn't from the book of Psalms. It's from the Gospel of Luke. In the Bible, lots of the writers, they'll use lyrics or portions from songs in order to express some idea or explain to us what they want us to know. It's kind of like a musical. In The Sound of Music, when Julie Andrews plays the part of a governess who goes to take care of, what is it, 7 or 8 precocious children, when the storm comes up at night and they all pile into Fräulein Maria's bed because they're afraid that the thunder has scared them, she sings that song about a few of my favorite things, and whiskers on kittens and raindrops on roses. This is how she explains to the kids how not to be frightened during the storm. It makes the story more interesting, and it actually does a better job sometimes of telling us what's what. Because music and poetry can help us hear things with more than just our ears. And when we can feel the thing that's being said, then we can know it fully. So in Luke, when Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, finally gets his voice back, and when he sees this son that has come into his life and into the world, Zechariah bursts into song. This is his song that was our psalm for today from Luke chapter 1. He praises God and he recalls how God has been promising this day of peace to come for generations. How a servant would come and care for the weak and the vulnerable and save the people from all of their enemies. Zechariah sings of the tender compassion of God and a light that will break in from on high to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. Reminds of us of another song that uses the same lyric of protection, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The song sings in our heart and in our soul, because these are the deep longings of our lives. These are the questions that we wonder if they will ever get answered. These are the hopes of faith that we cling to in those nights when the thunder frightens us and we go running to the room of one who cares for us. It's easy, perhaps, to think that John the Baptist, this child of Zechariah's hope, now grown to be a man, calling people into the wilderness for baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. It's easy to think that John the Baptist is just another announcer. Just one who points to Jesus and says, "There he is. That's the guy you want to follow." But John the Baptist is more than just another character in the story. John and his story are the embodiment of all that we are in the world. The lives filled with hopes and dreams, and the lives that are pressured and pushed, limited and held down, oppressed and enslaved by the powers of this world. And look at how the gospel writer gets us into this. Luke tells of those things about John the Baptist and even Jesus. Before he speaks of those things, Luke reminds us where we are and to whom we are subject. Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, Herod, ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, who controls at least 4 other regions. And the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, tells us of this reality in the same way that we today need to pay attention to the world around us. We need to know what rulers and powers are up to in the world, because they certainly can be the bolts of lightning and the cracks of thunder that frighten us in the night. They are, as Zechariah sings in his song, the shadows of darkness and the enemies that hate us. Or maybe they aren't. Maybe the world is just fine the way it is. But that's not the way Fräulein Maria sees it. Or she would ignore the raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. And Zechariah would be happy at the birth of his son, but he wouldn't call him the prophet of the Most High. No need for that in a perfect world. And John the Baptist wouldn't have to call everybody out into the wilderness to be baptized. And none of the Psalms in whatever book they're found in would need to remind us of our fears or celebrate our joys for that matter. And in the end, if the world is just fine, then Jesus wouldn't have to come into the world, and none of this would be of any matter to any of us. But there is a longing that burns in our hearts. There is a hope that sometimes only sighs in the deepest part of our souls, where conventional words will not do, but the song that our inner being sings testifies to that dark truth. It's a song that calms our fears and guides us through the valleys of shadows. Zechariah sings that song of hope today. And his son, John, sings a song too. John sings an old song once sung by the prophet Isaiah about a world without dark valleys and where all people will see salvation. Today we sing a song of baptism, a song slightly delayed, because of the very real vulnerabilities in our bodies, but one that sings out all the more joyous today in thankfulness for life. And Whitley will sing her song as the promises made to today are fulfilled in her life. And today, as two candles burn on our Advent wreath in anticipation of the fulfillment of God's promises in all of our lives, our song continues. Continues Zechariah's hope for promises fulfilled in a world where powers and rulers still threaten, but where God has come in the one who is called peace. So let us sing our song, a song that celebrates that hope for peace. Not just for a few, but for many, for all. You don't need to worry about whether you can sing it or sing out of key or not. That's not the part of the song that's important. Zechariah hadn't spoken for 9 months before he sang. I can only imagine what his voice was sounding like. And John the Baptist hanging out in the desert with the dust and the locusts and the shouting for people to come out to get baptized. Pretty sure he wasn't a great singer. But the method isn't what's important. It's the message. It's a message that people need to hear today. It speaks of life and hope and safety in places of danger, security to be who you are and live as God has made you. Comfort in a nation that has long promised to be a home to weary travelers, not a place of suspicion and hatred. The world needs to hear this thrilling voice, even if some will silence the song. Let's sing it anyway. Amen.